Good morning.
Now I'm just going to swap microphones if I have the technology and the ability. Is this one on now? We'll give it a try and see because I want to move around. Anyway, good morning. Nice to see you all in this weird bit between Christmas and New Year. And love to see so many folk here. I always think one of the advantages of coming to church on this Sunday is it means you do now know what day of the week it is rather than just being a blur. And it's 2 hours, well, it depends how long we're here, between when you left home and when you get home, without eating a single mince pie or a bit of chocolate or drinking anything. Or cheese. Someone there who, like me, is now mostly cheese. So well done. Really good to see you. And to think for a few minutes about this passage from Luke. And I was looking through when I was sorting the sermon out and saving it, and I realised... Very slow to realise, I'm sure you all remember, that last year Philippa and I did the service together and I preached on the first part of Luke chapter 2. And no doubt you remember that and have been waiting most of the year to hear what the next part will be. Sorry I forgot that, but well done you, those of you who have remembered it and been waiting with bated breath for the next instalment. And because I did find my notes from last year, I now know what I said. It was quite good. I should have listened. Last year I spoke about what a surprising event, all the surprises in the birth narrative, the kind of the angels and the virgin birth and the shepherds, and it was a time of great surprises. And that theme kind of gets picked up a bit this morning as well with Simeon and Anna. So let's just pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing story of your birth here and how it continues now with the encounter with Simeon and Anna. And we ask that you would speak to us and change us and transform us. Amen. So this event in Luke chapter 2, where they take Jesus to the temple, has kind of skipped on a little bit. We're now in about 40 days later, which was the time when they took Jesus to the temple. So I've just lost the page. So it's just over a month later. And I don't know about you, but when something really amazing has happened, and then life gets back to normal, after a while, you kind of think, like after a special holiday, you think, did it really happen? Did I really remember all that? Suddenly life just often, after something like that, can go back to normal. And we get here a bit of a jolt as to what happens again. And it's a great passage, this, because it's got people of all different ages in it. It's got babies. Have we got any babies here today? We've got people, yeah, we've got small babies. We got children, just generally children. Hands up if you're a child of any age. Give us a wave if you're a child. We've got children. Have we got any parents in the room? We've got some parents. Have we got any who are in that kind of parenty age, between the ages of about 20 and 40? Anybody that age also? Brilliant. And... people are elderly. We don't know how old Simeon was. Anna was 84. Simeon was could have been anything over sort of 60, which for me is really old because I'm only 59. So if you're in that really old bit, which I will be in next year, 60 to 90. Anybody here in that kind of bracket? So we're all there in this story. It's right from 40 days old, tiny, right through to late 80s. We're there in this story. And this encounter where all these generations come together, all focused around Jesus, who actually doesn't do or say anything in this passage. Although he's the center of it, it's actually Mary and Joseph, and particularly Simeon and Anna, who are the focus. And it's really interesting when we look at Simeon and Anna, because there they are, elderly. But they were two people who were really godly. And it says that Simeon, he was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You can worry about that over lunch, what that means. But he was waiting for, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And Anna was there in the temple, spending her time there. These were people who were not just sitting there going, well, actually, I'm quite old now. I haven't got anything to do. They were people still deeply in touch with God. They were people who spent their time praying, listening, being with God, putting themselves in the right place at the right time. They hadn't thought, well, I'll hand over now to the younger generation, I've done my bit. They were still there, waiting, praying, being in God's presence. And that's why they become such central figures. Because however old you are, however old we get to, God still has things to say to us. God still has a purpose for us and things for us to do. And so there they are doing this. And they present Jesus to Simeon. And he'd been moved by the Spirit. And the parents brought in the child. And then he says this little prayer that's become a really famous prayer. A lot of churches say this every evening in their evening prayer. When I was young, every Sunday evening in the church I went to that had a service in the evening, this was always said. It's called, it gets known as the Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for now you let me depart. And he starts with, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. In other words, I can go now. I've seen the most amazing thing. This is what I've been waiting for. I was waiting for this one, and the one you were going to send. All my life I've been waiting. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the nations. This child is the one I've been waiting for. So Lord, that's it. That's the thing is here. I can go in peace. It's the best thing ever. It's like the best gift ever Simeon could have hoped for. This is it. And of course, Christmas is a time of gifts for many of us, isn't it? And for Simeon, this was a time of gifts. And this was the very best gift. And I wonder what your best gift was. Can we just find out, did anybody get any Christmas presents this year? Did any children get any Christmas presents? Put your hand up. If you've brought something, can you come and show us what it is? And I'll use...
Hello.
Now, can you tell us what it or who is this?
It's a Pokemon called Growlithe.
A Pokemon? Oh, we love Pokemons in our house. Oh, we've lived with a lot of Pokemons. And it's called Growlithe. Excellent. And what have you got?
I've got a unicorn and I've got a person called Sophia to ride the unicorn.
Wow, a unicorn and a person called Sophia to ride the unicorn. Fantastic presents. Anybody else? Any other children get any presents they want to tell us about? Anybody else get a present? Okay, anyway, yes, what did you get?
I got first in many years Lego sets.
Which Lego set did you get?
One's got a giraffe.
You've got a giraffe Lego set. Fantastic. Anybody else who's a bit older get a present this year that want to tell us about? Anybody else? Now, I don't wonder if you were to think about, and I think about all ages here, what was your best ever present? Something you really remember, big or small? Because for Simeon, this present wasn't just any old present. This was, when he saw Jesus, this was the best thing. Now, I bought, from when I was growing up, I think, my favourite ever present. It won't surprise you, I don't think, but I was about 12, and I've been asking for this for a long time, and they were very expensive. So this was my joint Christmas, birthday, and grandparents and everybody else saved up so that I can, and I've still got it, it still works, I can have my steam traction engine. This, you see, this is my favourite thing. You put little methylated spirit tablets in the back, it heated up the water, you put water in there, it creates steam, and then when there's enough pressure, you flick the flywheel and off it would go, chuffing around the garden, and still works, and one day could be enough space to get it going in here, couldn't we? To be a nice flat floor. That is a great thing. So this, when I was 12, which was more years ago, was my favourite present. And loved it over the years. So that was my absolute favourite. So but I wonder, anybody, I'd love to know, people, let's go for the end. If you're in that kind of 20 to 40s bracket, when you look back at your childhood, what's a childhood present you can remember getting? You thought, I love this. It could be big, it could be small. What was it that you loved? If you're that kind of age, what have you got in the kind of head to that age? You can tell us that. Yes, over here.
I got the... Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
I got the original Lego pirate ship.
The original Lego pirate ship. Okay. Any other folk getting a thing from that age? We'll go up the ages then. Okay. If you're in your 50s, 60s, around there, what can you remember from your childhood that you got as a present? Yes. Multicoloured torch. Well, when will you turn the end? Oh, very cool. Multicoloured torch. Anybody else remember anything they got? Like that, the spinning top, yeah, okay. Anybody? Yes, down here.
Thunderbird 4.
Oh, now I'm jealous. It's going in the water one. Yeah. Oh, the yellow one. Oh, now I'm jealous. Okay. Going over 60s now. And if you're over 60 at that age, what do you remember from your childhood? Mike, you're not over 60. Tell us.
A cassette tape recorder.
Indeed. How else are you going to listen to the Boomtown Rats unless you've got your tape recorder? Fantastic. Anybody else over 70 or 80 or 60 over?
Robots.
Oh, that turned around and pointed to the answers. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, anybody else tell me, what did you remember? Yes. Yes. Anyway. Oh, intriguing. You can go and learn all about that. Anybody else? Tell us, what they have as a child they can remember. Yes. Down here and down there. Yes.
One of my great aunts, she knitted me loads of doll's clothes for a doll that she gave me. And they were beautifully kind of knitted.
Oh, handmade knitted clothes. Oh, like a bit of a handmade thing. Very nice. Very nice. And last one down here.
I had the forerunner to Lego. I had Better Builder, and I think I was given it because my dad liked to play with it.
Hey, always the best ones. Yeah, give your children the present that you really want. Yeah. So a lot of us have had gifts that we still remember, that we still recall, and I'm sure there'll be things that have been given this year that in years to come will still be remembered. But for Simeon, this gift of Jesus was so significant. It was all that he'd hoped for, because he realized just how significant he was. He was going to be a light for the nations and a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. But then there's a really interesting bit next where it says the child's father and mother, that's Mary and Joseph, just keep up. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And I thought, I wonder why they marveled. Because it wasn't long ago they had angels singing and they had shepherds and they had announcements. Surely there's nothing left to be marveled at, is there? Here's an old man saying a prayer. And I thought, I wonder why. So here's my speculation, and it's just that, is that all the other stuff had happened in Bethlehem, as you know, 40 days earlier. And, you know, I could just imagine Mary going, the angels did come, didn't they? Like, we didn't dream that. That was a thing, wasn't it? And yet, 40 days later, they go to Jerusalem, different town or city, and they're there going to the temple with presumably other parents, because that's what you did when your child was of the right age. And there's a man who presumably they'd never met, who takes Jesus and doesn't do the normal prayer that you'd expect or the normal ceremony. He takes Jesus and says this amazing thing. And I can just imagine Mary and Joseph going, oh, isn't that incredible? 40 days ago, angels said this, and now here we are in a different town with a man we've never met, and he's saying the same thing. The story is being confirmed. All those things that we were told, that in the normalness of life as it settled down, suddenly we've been reminded again, God did speak and is speaking. And we've heard it from the angels, and we've heard it from the shepherds, and now we've heard it from the elderly, from this elderly devout man, and then also from Anna. And I think that's part of the story. And I think these elderly people have often been overlooked. And we often talk about in the nativity story about the shepherds and the angels and the wise men, the magi. But in between, because the Magi come a bit later, is Simeon and Anna, who are also part of the story, who also say, and this is it. And Mary also goes, wow, that's amazing. Sadly, too often, elderly folk can get overlooked. And I think we might have done that with them here. And perhaps we need to keep on reminding ourselves they're a key part of the nativity story. Because Mary went, wow, when they heard it again. And Simeon also has these special words for Mary afterwards. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So actually, in the midst of this was something quite tough for Mary to hear. And of course, it wasn't long after this, probably a year or so later, the wise men turn up, the Magi turn up, and they give myrrh, this thing about death. And then they have to flee. And I wonder how often over the times Mary remembered not just the big dramatic, but the quiet word of Simeon who said, he will pierce your own soul too. It will be tough at times being the mother of this special holy child. Will also be tough. A message of hope, a message of joy, but a message of reality. It was also going to be tough. So this amazing little story in the middle of the nativity that we've overlooked. But I want us to just to think one or two lessons for this here. Simeon and Anna were waiting for God to do miraculous things. They were waiting, expectant that God would do something. Simeon was expecting to see this child before he died, and it came to pass. Anna was in the temple expecting God to do great things. It's really easy in the busyness of life and the normalness of life to get used to this is what happens. And I think as a church, for us to rekindle, maybe it's just me who needs to do this, you may be always waiting to be surprised by God. But being reminded that God still wants to do surprising things, and to be in the place to see them, to spot them, to notice when God's at work. To be those people waiting, to be those people like Simeon and Anna, that we listen to the elderly to listen to God. I speak in a number of churches where sometimes people say to me, well, we can't really do anything, Andrew, because there's only 20 of us and we're all over 70. And having looked at this passage before, I've said to them, well, do you know what then? You could be praying. You might not have the energy to run lots of youth groups. You might not have the time or the capacity to do lots of other things, but you could be the place that is praying on our behalf. You could be the spiritual powerhouse of this area. Be the Simeon and Annas. Be those people waiting and praying. You've still got a task. God still wants to do things. Are we ready for a message that contains great joy and great hope, but also sometimes where it's tough, where it's hard to follow Jesus? This story is about the message that God came into the world as a baby and met the shepherds we heard about, but met the elderly, met Mary and Joseph. Their lives were transformed as they waited and met Jesus. And he spoke through him, God spoke to each of them. They were each blessed in new ways. And as we go into 2026 next year, it's going to be quite a year for many of us. As a church, we've got big changes coming up, haven't we? Sadly, we're going to say goodbye to Tom and Joe at the end of February, beginning of March. And we'll have a period where we have to look after ourselves for a bit while we find a new vicar. And we're going to have a time, however long that lasts. And then at some point, hopefully, someone new will come. Quite big changes. And I think this passage speaks to us at this time of change. Are we expectant that God will do amazing things? Or are we thinking, oh no, what are we going to do? And let's just get our heads down and get through it. Are we a church that stays expectant? Are we a church, whoever we are, that puts ourselves in God's place, like Simeon and Anna? waiting, being there ready to spot and hear when God speaks? Are we going to listen to everyone as we discern our way forward? Are we willing to listen to the very elderly, to the very young, to see God at work in the lives of everyone here, and to be surprised and joyful when we do, like Simeon and Anna, see the miracle, see God at work? That's the hope this passage brings. God meeting each of us, whatever our age, whatever our circumstance, and bringing that news that God truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Thank you, Smee. And as we remember what he said, let's worship God, remembering in that passage Jesus is mentioned over and over again as Jesus Christ, Messiah, remembering the light of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. The hymn is Immortal, Invisible.